I was down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Man, that's kind of a richy place to be. There's a place down there called the Bahia Mar. It's so expensive, there's only 10 floors. 5 rooms to a floor. I was on the top floor, the 10th floor. On one side is an island. The other side is the yacht club. The other side, there's a big private walkway that goes over to the private beach on the Gulf. And there I was. Well, I went up to my room. I looked out there. The south is bad, you know. You think this is hot in here, guys? 97 degrees, humidity 197 degrees, and your perspiration is perspiring. It's bad. And I don't know why all the guys from New York want to go down there. It's this miserable place. But there I was, and it was hot, and it started to rain. I thought, boy, I'm going to go out and take a swim. So I walked across with my key, walked across to the island. What's wrong, Bob? Okay. I walked across the beach to the island, and I took my towel with me. Took my flip-flop, said hello to a couple of guards that were guarding the gate. He opened up the gate. It sounded like one of those Raymond and a squeaking door, you know. It was really an expensive place. I got on the island, and I put my towel down, because if you guys are like I am, when once I take my glasses off, if I didn't put my foot in the water and a foot on the towel, I would go the other way and be killed in the freeway, because I can't see. Even David Bernard's prayed for my eyes. I can't see that well. So I got in the water and I began to swim. It was raining. Man, it was raining, but it was beautiful. And I was swimming. See, I had one bad ear I'll tell you about later. So I put that ear out so I couldn't hear anything. I was going, Rima Makasada, Hura Papakada. I was having a good time. And a beautiful blue sky turned white. I looked up there and I thought, wow, what is that? And then I put my good ear out. And I heard this guy holler, get out of the water! Well, I squinted and looked, and here was a guy on a large boat. Now, I exaggerate a little bit, but it was 4.5 miles long and 6 miles wide. It was the biggest thing I've ever seen. It was a Coast Guard cutter. And the guys were all screaming and hollering with their uniforms on, their white ducks and some, blowing their whistles and hollering at me, waving me. Who do they think they are? I'm having a good time. I'm swimming. So I go side stroke, and I do a little back stroke, and they're yelling at me. I finally get up to the water. I look for my glasses. That's a miracle in itself. I find them. I put them on. And this guy's running out there with his little, these new bathing suits. I wouldn't wear them. You ever see those new? They look like jock shorts. Oh, man. He comes over. He's blowing his whistle. He said, get out of the water. I said, I'm out of the water. You dummy. I'm out of the water. And just then, two trooper cars come up. They call them Highway Patrol out here. And the guys open the door, and they come running towards me. And I looked at them. They said, what are you doing in the water? I said, I'm swimming. What a dumb question. Isn't that a dumb question? You're not supposed to be in the water. I said, why not? I didn't see a sign. He said, we have a rule down here that when it rains in Florida, you've got to get out of the water. You can be electrocuted. I said, we don't have that rule in California. That's a dumb rule. That's right. The guy said, where do you live? I said, see that big hotel up there? He said, yeah. I said, I live in there. Oh, he said, listen, I've been down there 23 years. I've never been in that hotel. I said, that's right. You don't know Jesus Christ, or you live out in where you're supposed to live. I live in that hotel. He said, prove it to me. I said, I will. My father owns it. Your father owns it? You bet he owns that hotel. He said, you're pretty important, aren't you? I said, I'm the most important guy sitting in this audience right now. He said, how can you get back there? He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I should run you in. I said, you'd never do it. He said, why not? I said, I got a hedge around me. I got a ring of fire. You can't touch me. He said, you're weird. I said, no, I'm not. I'm peculiar. There's a difference. So I said, if I can go up in that room where that towel is in the balcony, would you believe me? He said, yes, I would. I said, you wait right here. And you, Coast Guard, you wait right there. Drop anchor. So I got my flip-flops on, put the towel over my shoulder, leisurely walk back. I'm in no hurry, right? The meeting doesn't start till the evening. I showed my key to the first guard. He opened up the gate. I walked through, go over the path, see the people on the freeway going down. They're going to work. Here, I'm going to have a good time. Hi, guys. Nice to work. We're living it, huh? No, Jesus, you're not going to be where I am. Went to the second guy, opened it up. I went to the counter, the registration counter. I'm still in no hurry. So I looked at the newspaper, see what the headlines were. Bought a pack of gum. Hit the elevator. It's one of the elevators where a guy takes you up. You know, they don't allow you there. He's got a little uniform on, a little bell hat. Looks like red buttons. He said, what's your floor? I said, the top floor. What do you think? I don't go in any middle floors. I'm the king here. Oh, he said, okay. Get up there. Open the door. I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll pay Dr. Schuler. You know what he does? How he opens up the drapes? I got back there, and I opened up the drapes. I said, this is the day the Lord hath made. And all of a sudden, two patrol guards go on down the apron, boom, all the way down there. Well, we'll get this later. The Lord began to minister to me, and I said, my God, I am something special. When I was in the world, and Ed knows this, man, we went to BIA meetings, but the only things that I saw was from my car to the airport, to the car, to the place where we stand, and I drank all in and out, in and out, in and out. I never saw anything. But I'm very important right now, guys. I think of Barry McGuire sings a song. Sometimes I cry, my dear Lord, when I think of all the things you've done for me. Sometimes I cry. And I sat up here next to Chuck, and I looked over you guys, and hey, you're my family. Hey, I love you. When I was in the world, I had a lot of money, but I didn't have anybody that loved me. And I got 600-700 guys who can say that. Well, I was up in Modesto just 2 years ago and went up with my old buddy Chuck D'Amato. Sometimes in the spirit, sometimes out of the spirit, most times he's out of the spirit, but sometimes in the spirit. He was speaking, not well, but he was speaking. And by the way, if you guys are presidents and officers, have your notebook handy, I'd book these guys up. David Bernard, Rusty Peavy, Chuck, and all these are Jim Tucker. These are real good men. You might as well get them booked up right now. Praise God. Chuck D'Amato says to me, he said, wow, Bill, the Lord just spoke to me. I've known Chuck for 10 years. I said, sure, Chuck. What'd he say? He said, the Lord just told me that I'm to buy you a suit. I said, that's right, Chuck, the Lord's speaking to you. Listen to him. I said, what'd he say? He said, I'm to buy you a suit as soon as we get home. I said, good, Chuck. I'll change my reservation. We'll fly home together. I don't want to hear buyer's remorse, you know. I needed that suit. So we went down and went to this place, nice place inside. He said, what kind of suit you want? I said, Chuck, there's only one kind of suit to get. He said, what's that? I said, a blue suit. Who else would have anything but a blue suit? I said, I've got some brown suits and gray suits, but Mavis buys those. I don't like them. I hide them. Blue suit, it matches my eyes. Love them. Oh, he says, really like one? I said, would I like? He says, go ahead, pick one out. I said, don't rush me. You're buying me a suit? Let me look around. Right? He tried to steer me over to the $1.95 ones, you know. So I said, here it is, Chuck. This is the suit. It matches my eyes, doesn't it? Oh, he said, I like it. I said, good. I said, wouldn't a tie and a shirt look good with it? He said, yeah, it would. I said, good. I went over to the guy, and he put it in a cellophane bag. Next day, I was leaving for Jackson, Mississippi. So I took it home, and I showed my wife, and I said, doesn't it look good? I really appreciate Chuck. I'm glad he listens to the Lord sometime. I was worried about him, you know. So I got down to Jackson, and again down the south. There I am down there. This time, it's 101 degrees, and about 300... humidity, thank you. I can't even think of the word. I've been in California. It was bad. And Norval Hayes was down there, Aquila Wilkins, Dr. Keller, Buddy Harrison, and they're all the Word Faith people. I believe in the Word. Praise God. We've had a lot of that, and man, it's just confessing and believing. I believe in that. So I was out there, and it was hot, so we were kind of praising the Lord, you know, having a good time, praying in tongues. Guy walked by, save him, Lord. You save him, Lord. You know, I'm having a good time there. Of course, the bell guys are all going, ah, what's wrong with this guy? So we were all of a sudden walking down the street, this drunk walks by. I mean, he was bigger than Jim Tucker. He kind of looked a little bit like Jim Tucker. No, he didn't. He had a t-shirt on, had a big belt buckle, cowboy boots, 10-gallon hat, and he walked down the street, and you think he was in the San Francisco earthquake. Man, he was all over the place, you know. All of a sudden, the Lord began to speak to me. I said, hey, guys, watch this. And I walked right beside him, walking down Lamar Street. I said, how you doing, cowboy? He looked at me and said, well, how'd you know my name? I said, a word of nonsense, right? I got all the gifts. Right. Right, Ray? Right. So I said, how do you feel, cowboy? Oh, he said, I feel bad. I said, you look terrible. What happened to you last night? Oh, he says, I really put one on. I said, so did I. I said, I'm so full of the Spirit. I said, my head's, he said, that's how I feel. I said, I got something right here for you. Oh, he said, what is it? Oh, I said, it's something that you really like. He said, you carry it with you all the time? I said, I'm never without it. I have a little knit now and then. Oh, he said, you do? He said, where can I have some? I said, well, the capital of Jackson, Mississippi is right around the corner. I said, let's go up in the steps up there. Oh, he says, everybody will see you. I said, that's all right. I'm not proud. I don't mind them seeing me. We said, okay, I'll go with you. We went up in the steps. He said, where is it? I said, right here. He said, in there? I said, yeah. I said, it's found in the Book of Romans. He said, is that an address? I said, it sure is. And the 9th chapter in the 10th verse says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, cowboy, you'll be saved. Oh, he says, I don't think that's possible. I said, why not? Oh, he said, I've really been a rat fink. I've done a lot of things. I've been here 13 years, and I said, I've been really in bad shape. I said, where'd you sleep last night? Oh, he said, I slept in Jackson. I said, where? Oh, he said, I slept in the car. I said, have any wheels on? No, it's in the junkyard. Okay, good. I said, how'd you get up this morning? He said, the police rousted me out. I said, see that hotel there? He said, yeah. I said, that's the Holiday Inn. I'm up there on the 15th floor, the top floor. He said, you are? I said, sure. I'm going to stay there tonight. I said, but cowboy, I used to be like you. Oh, I said, look at you. You got a suit on. How could you be like me? I said, brother, you don't have to look like you to be like you. See, the only difference between you and me, cowboy, is that you're still sitting in that stupid bar stool and I'm on the throne of God. See, I don't drink that rot gut anymore. I drink living water. And I don't drink that fruit of the vine. I drink the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And cowboy said, wow, that's pretty good. But he said, you haven't done the things that I've done. Oh, I said, you think waking up in an automobile in some strange city with the sun coming up and then going to a gas attendant and say, what city am I in? Or having your stomach pumped out? Being in a drunk tank, waking up with a fire hose? Being stopped by the police? Being down to Santa Ana jail? I said, one time I woke up, cowboy. I used to be smart. I used to catch matches in my pocket to see where I was. One morning I woke up, I lifted the phone up and asked the operator where I was, and she spoke in French. I said, my God, I'm in Paris. But it wasn't, I was in Montreal. He said, you used to do those things? I said, brother, I did those things and some more. I kind of forgot about them. The Lord kind of healed my memory. Oh, he said, you were rotten. I said, no, I wasn't rotten. I was just bad. He said, how do I get that stuff? I said, very good. You have to kneel. He said, why? I said, I'm a Baptist. He said, what difference does that make? I said, when I found the Lord, I went on top of a Baptist roof. And I knelt there, the preacher put his arm around me, and I got my salvation. You got to kneel. He said, but it's in the Capitol building. I said, good. Just kneel. He said, okay, what have I got to lose? I said, your life. So he knelt, and I put my arms around him. I began to pray with him. And just then, they ring the bell at the state capitol. You ever been in a federal building? Some of you guys work for the state and federal? Huh? It's like the E.F. Hutton, the bullish market. Oh, they're all running all over the place, you know. And I waited till they got right on top of me. And then I hollered, because I'm very timid, Lord! And people began to walk in air. You know, Peter walked on water. These people were walking on air trying to get away from me. And we began to pray. We prayed for some of the sins that he did, some of the things he might have done, some of the things that I did, some of the things I wish I had done when I was back there. Anyway, I got them all out of my system. And when we got all the way through, Cowboy began to weep. He began to cry. Oh, I said, Wild Bill, I ain't never cried in 13 years. And I've been jacked. I don't remember crying. I said, Cowboy, I was a drunk. I said, I wasn't an alcoholic. I was a drunk. There's a difference. An alcoholic is a disease. You've got to be cured. I was a drunk. All I had to ask of the Lord in Joel 2:32 is call upon his name, the Lord, and thou shalt be saved and delivered. And I'm delivered. 10 years. I don't have to worry about going to meetings. Praise God. So Cowboy said, is that all you have to do? I said, that's right, brother. That's all you have to do. Well, he said, I never cried, though. I said, well, when I was a drunk, my dad was a drunk, my mother was a drunk, my sister was a drunk, all my relatives were drunks. And Cowboy, they used to beat me physically and emotionally and spiritually, and I never cried, just like you. But since I received the Lord and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I cry every time the dog gets sick. And Cowboy, we don't have a dog. We don't have a dog. We put his arm around him, and he got a glorious salvation experience. You know, you can feel when the Holy Spirit comes. And there's no doubt about it. Some people say, I think I was saved. I said, brother, you were never saved. Man, when Jesus comes to your heart to be resident and president, you know it. There's no doubt about it. So I reached in my pocket. I said, here, Cowboy, here's a ticket. He said, what's the ticket for? Oh. I said, I'm giving you something. Would you like to eat dinner at the hotel? He said, yeah, I've never been in there. I said, we're having steak tonight. Oh, yeah? He said, who's going to speak? I said, never mind. You're getting a free ticket. He said, I wonder who's going to speak. I said, the best speaker in the whole full gospel businessman. He said, who's that? I said, me, dummy, me. Who do you think's speaking? Boy, what an ungracious guy. That's how people are like that, dude. So he said, okay, I'll be there. It's good. So I walked back to the hotel, and on 6 o'clock at night, they have a big room down there, and they're all in French. I can't understand what they are. And I was going to speak. I was sitting up there, and all of a sudden, I didn't have to hear them. I could smell them. Hadn't bathed. Had that famous perfume on called Gymnasium Jungle. You know, Larry walked in there. Brown T-shirt was once was white. Cowboy hat. No teeth. Staggering around. This time with the Holy Spirit. And wouldn't you know, there's a place right down in front. That's where you are. Right down front. And he found it. Hi, Wild Bill. How you doing, old buddy? Going to speak tonight? People are looking at me. He said, that's my friend. That's old Wild Bill. That's my friend. He's going to speak. He's good. I hadn't heard him, but he's good. Boy, I need that publicity, don't I? Praise God. So I spoke that night, and he's a good audience. Not better than you guys. He smiled when he was supposed to. And he clapped when he was supposed to. I enjoyed him. After it was all over, I said, Cowboy, I'll meet you in the lobby. Okay? Okay, Wild Bill. See you there. Well, Dr. Keller comes up to me and says, Wild Bill, we're having a bunch of people. Buddy Harrison's going to go upstairs. And the mayor is here and a couple other people. Would you like to join us up in our room? Oh, would I love to join them. Oh, the flesh really came in there. Would I love to? No. So I went up there and we fell a chip and had a good time. Walked back to my room and opened the door and that red light was going, blink, 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 telephone call. I picked up the receiver. I said, this is Wild Bill. She said, praise the Lord. I said, what's wrong? She said, there's somebody waiting for you down here. I said, who is it? I said, all I can see is the cowboy hat, a belt buckle, and a pair of boots, and he's snoring. You better come down. Oh, I said, Cowboy, I forgot about him. So I walked down there, and I said, Cowboy, will you forgive me? I said, I didn't mean to do that. Oh, he said, that's okay, Wild Bill, I needed to sleep. He said, let's go witness. Isn't that enough? he's only 4 hours old. And he wants a witness. He said, you tell everybody how you go out in bars with your Bible? He says, come on, let's do it. I said, okay. He said, here's the bar right here, the Bo Reeval Room. Holiday Inn. I said, okay, let's go in there. We walked in there, and what I do, I take my black Bible. I walk up to the bar like this, and suddenly I have stools on both sides of me. It's like parting the Red Sea. There's no problem to get a drink. And nobody closes in on you. And then you put your elbow down there and you say, bartender, I'd like a Holy Spirit cocktail, please. And they disappear looking at that book. See how to do it? No. You've been there, brother. You've been there. And he says, sir, I don't know how to mix that. I said, it's very simple. It's two ice cubes and a glass of water. Oh, he said, I couldn't give you that. I said, why not? He said, we don't make any money. Oh, I said, isn't that a shame? I said, do you happen to know who the owner of this hotel is? Yes, he said, I know his name. I said, I know him. Oh, he said, big shot, how did you know him? I said, well, he's going to be one of our speakers at our New Orleans convention. His name is Wallace Johnson. He said, that's right. So I'm in charge, and I've invited him down. You invited Rusty Peavy. I'm sorry, I made a mistake there. No. And he said, do you really know him? I said, sure. I said, wouldn't it be terrible? I said, Mr. Johnson, on August 8th, about 1:45, I walked into your Bo Reeval Room in Jackson, Mississippi, and the bartender wouldn't give me a Holy Spirit cocktail. Oh, he said, how do you mix it? How do you mix it? Two ice cubes and a glass of water. So I said, you take the first one, cowboy. No, he said, you show me how to do it. I said, okay. I took my Bible, and there's two ladies in there. One lady was sitting at the end next to the wallpaper, and she was really bomb. Going, ha, 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 ha. And I walked over there, and she was talking to the wallpaper. Hey, don't laugh. The wallpaper, I thought, was talking back to her. So I left her alone. But there was another lady sitting down there, and used to be one of old Santos' girlfriends. You know, she was from Akron, Ohio. She was kind of retreaded. Dunlap's disease, you know, her belt Dunlapped over her stomach. She was in bad shape. So Cowboy went up to speak to her, and she didn't say a word. But I believe, like Betty Malt says, that you can speak to a person, and even though they're not in life supports, the Spirit of God is still inside them. She said that she was lying after a stroke, lying in bed, and the nurses would come in. And they say, oh, isn't she a beautiful woman? I wonder if her husband's going to remarry. Who's going to take care of the kids? And in her spirit, she says, I'm not dead. I'm not dead. And then all of a sudden, some cranky old guy like Jim Owen would come in there. He picked up the Word of God and went to the Book of Psalms and began to read the Word. And it came into her, and she came back. So I don't care if they're drunk, if they're passed out, where they are, I still give them oral service. Jim Swaggart, I still give them all. Give them the Word of God. And I believe that their spirit is still there. Cowboy said, let's go see some of my friends. He says, I've got a burden for the least, the lost, and the last. Man, you know, I've been in the church for 45 years. Some of the people have been in the church. And they don't have that words, the least. I said, where'd you pick that up? He said, oh, one of your messages. You heard one of them. But he already had a burden for his friends. So he went out there and went to some bars and he'd do some, and I'd do some, would kneel down. Some of them would accept, some of them wouldn't. Some of them would cry. A lot of backslidden people in bars. And somebody said, well, Bill, why do you go in bars? That's where all the sinners are. I said, that's why I go in bars. Praise God. You don't find them out at a meeting like this too often. You find them where the rubber meets the road. And so we went in there and talked to his friends. Went to a couple of shooting galleries. I don't know whether you've been to a shooting gallery, but they take a mattress that is urine stained. They lay on it and they shoot up. Dope in their arms. And we went to a couple. These are people that Cowboy played with and stayed with and loved with and laughed with. One little girl was 13, was trying to shoot up in her vein with a little heart down there, and she couldn't find it. She was so jangled up. So we went all over. It was rainy by this time. We went all over the place looking for his friends. Finally, about 4:45 or 4:45 in the morning, he says, wow, Bill, he says, I think I've got them all. I said, praise God for that. Hallelujah. He said, let's go back to the hotel. Got two rooms, I'm two beds. I said, yeah, okay, let's go. We walked back there, I walked in the door, and I get halfway across the foyer, and There's no cowboy. I turn around and there he is witnessing the doorman. I backslid already. I walked right by the guy. Wow. So he says, well, once you've got some mail, Wild Bill. I said, I can see my 1540. I can see it right there. I don't have any mail. The red light's not on. He says, well, let's go see. I said, no, let's go. He goes over there and up to the girl and he says, you know Jesus? She says, no, I don't. He says, would you like to know him? She says, I think so. He's leading to the Lord, and I'm standing there, you know, with this egg all over my face. The big evangelist, you know. He's already led two people to the Lord, and I'm not even in that room yet. So we finally get in the elevator, and we go upstairs, and I turn the air conditioner on, because it's really getting rancid now, huh? I'm glad I got a single room and didn't bunk with Abraham. Boy, that would be terrible. So I said, cowboy, would you like to take a shower? Oh, yeah, he said, I sure would. I said, praise God. Let me put the water on for you. He got in there. He began to sing. Only song I taught him. Jesus loves me, this I know. This he sounded better than Santos and these guys up here. I'm glad there's no mic up here. They're really bad. He was bad, but they're worse. Boy. So he comes. I said, don't, be quiet. He said, listen, if anybody knocks on the door, you go to the door and tell them Jesus loves you. He said, that'll get rid of them. A lot of wisdom in that guy. A lot of wisdom. So I said, cowboy, would you like to have some my clean underwear? He said, oh, no, I'll wear these. Oh, I said, cowboy. And the Lord spoke to me. He really spoke to me. He said, Wild Bill, I want you to give cowboy a suit. I said, okay, Lord. Right on. Cowboy, the Lord just spoke to me. He had to give you a suit. Now, cowboy, here's a good-looking brown suit. Right here. Mavis packed it for me, and you'll love it. In fact, I took this suit down in Guatemala to a missionary. I like to give suits to missionaries. And this missionary, it didn't fit him, and he took my blue suit and had to wear the brown suit back. And I'm not trying to get rid of a cowboy, but you'll like it. He said, I don't want it. I said, you're picky, aren't you? Here's one here I wore. It's a nice blue suit. It's only 4 years old. You can have this one. Go on, take it. No, I don't want that one either. I said, hey, guy, my brown suit, my old blue suit, you can't have the suit that I've got on. He said, I want that suit. I looked over and there was a suit that Chuck D'Amato bought me, still in the cellophane, hadn't worn it. Oh, I said, no, you can't have that. Oh, no. I haven't worn it. Little tears come out, you know, little Pentecostal tears come out. And he says, well, Bill, I ain't never had a new suit. I said, cowboy, I ain't hardly ever had a new suit either. Well, he said, if you don't want me to have it. I said, I didn't say I didn't want you to have it. Okay, try it on. It won't fit. It won't fit. It won't fit. Like a glove. Like a standard form. Wow. So he said, gee, I really like this suit. I said, so do I. I like it. I'm sure Chuck does, too. Well, he said, well, Bill, I have a burden. I said, oh, here it comes. What is it, cowboy? He said, my mom and daddy don't know Jesus. I said, that's bad. Yeah. I said, my mama didn't know Jesus until she was 79 in a Knott's Berry Farm chapter. She stood up and recited the sinner's prayer. I said, cowboy, 10 years ago, not one of my family knew Jesus. Ed knows this. And now, all my three sons know Jesus. Two of them are in the ministry, have their own churches. Three daughter-in-laws, spirit-filled. Two granddaughters, one speaks in tongues at 3 years old. My mother, my sister, all my nieces. 10 years ago, none of them knew him. I said, cowboy, that's a good burden to have. He said, I can't get back to Ada, Oklahoma. I said, where's that? He said, well, let's take the bus, get off at Oklahoma City, take another bus. I said, well, there's a long way. He said, a long ways to go. I said, how are you going to get down there? He says, well, I thought maybe you'd let me have the money. Oh. Now, I hadn't been on a bus in a long time, you know. Jet traveler? I thought the last time I was on a bus, it was only a dollar and a half to go to Anaheim to Newport Beach. $47.67. I told the Greyhound guy, I said, I don't want to buy your bus or stock in, I just want to buy a stupid ticket. I bought it for him, and he gets on the bus, started to rain. I said, get that in there. That blue suit is going to get all wet. Watch it, watch it. I said, okay. All of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me again. He said, Wild Bill, do you love me? I said, Lord, I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, Wild Bill, do you love me? I said, Lord, I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. I said, Lord, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I haven't any sleep, so once more, slowly pass me. He said, Wild Bill, do you love me? I said, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Cowboy's going back to Ada, Oklahoma. He hasn't got any money. The last meal he had was with you. And he's going to be hungry. I said, Lord, that's the last meal I had. And if I give him all the money, I'm going to be hungry too. And then he said something like, have I ever left you or forsaken you? That's not fair, is it? Is that fair? So I reached in and I gave him my money. He said, Cowboy, here's some money. You're going to be hungry going back to your mom and daddy. And this big old dude, he began to weep. He said, Wild Bill, he says, I ain't been a Christian very long. He said, you give me a suit? You don't even know me? He said, you give me some money to get me off, buy a ticket, food? He said, this is like being a Christian. He said, boy, I'm sure glad I'm a Christian. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. He had all the words down. It was really neat. Started to rain real bad. I said, Cowboy, put your arm in there. Okay. And the bus revved up, turned around, and went down Lamar Street. And the last thing I saw was that blue suit elbow going all the way down Lamar Street. I got home, and I have a nosy wife. So does Pete. Because they like to unpack your clothes and see what you're giving away. Right? See if you use two handkerchiefs instead of one, right? So I rushed home, and I unpacked real quick. And wife said, how'd the suit look, honey? Oh, I said, look beautiful. Not on me, but it looked beautiful. She said, did you like it? I said, I loved it. She said, oh, I'm so glad. But I didn't tell her anything. About 4 months later, Leon Percy came in Sky Park Circle, big butcher bag, Wild Bill Monty, Sky Park Circle. He says, here, you got something, Wild Bill. And I opened it up, and there was a blue suit with the shirt and the tie and the vest. And it was a little ripped in back on the vest, you know, because I knew I was bigger than he was. But I couldn't imagine what happened. So I told my wife, and I put it up there, and because I was going to leave to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. So was there? I waited for a while and got on an airplane, and Buddy Harrison was going to do my book, my life story. He does mostly Kenneth Hagin types of book and Word Faith books. So he's going to do the first testimony book he's ever done. And then I was back there 6 days and talked to his editor and the tapes, and they made all these notes and everything. And by the way, that reminds me, Dr. Melvin of our he asked me for those tapes, and he wants to do it. You know what? I think the devil, I'm mad at the devil. The devil's delaying that. He says we have to get a writer and $3,500. I believe that they're both mine. I'm going to confess that right now, in Jesus' name. That book has to be published, because the fellowship is going to get the money out of it. I'm not going to, in Jesus' name. My God, hey, thank you, Lord. So I was back there all this time, and 6 days, and my ear hurt. Now, Buddy Harrison's father-in-law is Kenneth Hagin, and we went over to dinner to his house. He anointed me with oil, prayed for me. It still hurt. Happy Caldwell came through town. Anointed me with oil, prayed for me. It still hurt. I mean, every evangelist who comes through Tulsa goes through his house. T.L. Osborne, all the guys go through there. I got so much oil on me, you know, I look like Betty Crocker, you know, I'm splashing all over the place. But it still hurt. And I couldn't imagine why I still hurt. So I got on a plane, Tulsa. We stopped at Oklahoma City. There's a brother in the San Juan Capistrano chapter, John Wales. He's an ex-airline pilot, and he was on the plane. And I was really aching. I reached over, and I believe, just like in Psalms, it says that Jonathan reached down to David and strengthened him in the Lord. And I believe he saved my life. Because when I got back to Anaheim, they thought I had a brain tumor. They rushed me to the hospital. I had what they call encephalitis of the brainstem. Every one of the nerves on my right side had totally collapsed. I couldn't see out of my right eye. I couldn't hear out of my right ear. I still can't hear. My face collapsed 2 inches. I look like, you think I look bad now, guys? You used to see me then. I look like Charles Laughton in the Humpback of Notre Dame. You know, it really was bad. And I had no feeling, no taste. I was in agony. Man, I really hurt. I lay down there and, you know, there's two things when I became a charismatic that was hard for me to believe. One was these out-of-body experiences. Marvin Ford, he's a buddy of mine. Sure, Marvin. Yeah, that's good for you. The other thing is spilling tea. One lady in Dublin said, look, the Lord just got 5 gold crowns. I said, good, have him get a 6th one and I'll leave you, you know. Now, I'm not skeptical, but I'd like to see it. Well, I had one of those out-of-body experiences because I hurt so much. And the next thing I was looking at the terrible face of mine in anguish. Next thing I know, I was like a mound. And I looked across there, and there was a big mansion. It wasn't a little one. I used to think that I'd go to number one Heavenly Way, Wild Bill's bungalow. John 14:2 says he's going to build a mansion. I should have believed the Lord. It's a huge thing. And there was thousands and thousands of people in the front yard. I said, Lord, what are those people doing in my front yard? He said, those people are the people who you have individually led to the Lord. I said, Lord, it's filled. I want to come home. I hurt. It's filled. He said, didn't you know that I can make it wider? Or I can make it longer? I said, that's no fair, Lord. That's no fair. There's a mansion now empty just waiting for me at the end of life's troubles one day. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there near the door of that mansion someday. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I'll see. You see, I'm going to a city where the streets are gold or laid, where the tree of life is blooming, and the roses, hey, they never fade. I said, Lord, I want to go up there. He said, well, Bill, you can't. I said, Lord, if you can promise me that I won't hurt anymore and that I will be healed, then I'll go back. But I don't want to. He said, look at some of the people up there. I look up in the left-hand corner, and there was my cousin Doug. When I first became a charismatic, I believed that I could touch anything and be healed. The more books I read, the less I believed. But then I did. It worked. Because I had that childlike faith that I could do it. I walked in the hospital. He was dying of cancer. I said, Doug, you don't know Jesus. He said, that's right. I said, get down on your knees. He had all these supports on him. And the nurse says, get out of here. I said, you get away from me. He's going to know Jesus. And he knelt. I saw him up there. I went up to Anchorage, Alaska. It was snowing. And every morning I'd walk 3 blocks to the missions. I love to go down the missions. And I walked in the mission, and there was 14 Eskimos standing right there. All of them were drunk, and some of them had T-shirts on. Some of them had shoes on with no socks. And it was cold, and I had my overcoat and my gloves on. And I said to him, what are you doing, guys? He said, we want to go to the mission. I said, let me help you. And one would fall down. I'd pick them up and put them all against the wall, up and down, and I knocked on the door. The guy said, what do you want? I said, I want you to open up the door. I got some people out for here. He looks at me. He said, they're drunk. I said, that's right. Let them in. Oh, I said, we have a rule. I said, what's your rule? He said, if they're drunk, they can't get in. I said, that's a dumb rule. How are you going to sober them up? That's your problem. Oh. So I said, follow me, guys. We slipped and slid and went across the street to McDonald's. Those Eskimos were blue from the cold. We got them a cup of coffee, and they turned brown. I saw 3 of those guys up there. And then in the Chena River in Fairbanks, Alaska, it goes right through the heart of town. And they say in the wintertime, the people, the bums, they call them bums, but a bum is no such thing. It's one of God's creations that's been perverted by the devil. These guys would walk across the Chena River, save themselves a couple miles, rather go down the bridge. And as the spring comes, it thaws, they fall in. And when springtime comes, they look down there, there might be 15 to 20 bodies. No one knows where they are. Those who have called their names out in prayer have gone long ago. And they exist, and there they are. I saw a couple of those guys up there, too. I went down to New Orleans with Brother Demas. We were looking over the area down there for a world convention in 79. They were having a party up there, and Demas and I and Ken were coming down about the 36th floor, and a woman gets on. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. She had a glass in her hand, a booze, and a nameplate. She was always going to parties. She said, Ruth Jones, Connecticut. Now, I never look at the front of the elevator. Everybody else looks at that. I look at the people. I can tell what it is, you know. Well, I look at the numbers, 32, 31, you know, big deal. She gets on there, and she stands back there. I said, Ruth Jones from Connecticut, right? How'd you know? I said, everybody knows Ruth Jones. Everybody knows it. Demas goes this way and Ken goes this way. We hit the bottom. And they shoot out. I hit the top floor, and I began to go to the plan of salvation to her. She listened. Hit the button to go down there, and when she got out there, I said, Brother Demas, Ken, I'd like you to meet Ruth Jones from Connecticut. She's a sister in Christ. Praise God. And I saw her there. Then we were over to Greece, and there was a guy out. It was cold over there. He was roasting chestnuts. And I went out there, and I said, want to talk about Jesus? He said, no, I'm not talking about Jesus. I said, that's too bad. I was going to buy all your chestnuts. Okay, we talk about Jesus. So I bought his chestnuts, and I saw him up there. We were in Yugoslavia, and we were baptizing some people. And over there, it's a privilege to baptize people because they wait all day and bring glasses of water, and we cut out a little 3x6 slit in there. It's not like the big swimming pool we're going to have here, so that the communists won't know they fill it up. And at night, we sneaked in there, underground churches, and we would baptize the people, and they would wait in line. And a brother said, Wow, Bill, the Holy Spirit just talked to me. I didn't hear him. He talked to this guy. See, over here we have television, we have radio, we have news bulletins, you got a lot of brochures to come here, and we tell you what time to do it. But over there, they maybe it's down this way, Brother Juan, down there in Argentina. They talk to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tells them what to do. He said, there are going to be 60 people here tonight. I waited. There was only 59. And I walked in, there were 60. And so we baptized this one guy, we led him to the Lord, and just then, when we all left, the Mercedes came up, and the police came in. And I believed in the Holy Spirit then. But this fellow that we baptized, I saw him over there. I said, Lord, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to go home. I want to go see my friends over there. He said, Well, Bill, look at one more guy at the right-hand corner. And I looked down there, and there was a big guy, had a cowboy hat on, a blue suit, cowboy boots and a belt, and he had all his teeth. I said, that's cowboy, Lord. What happened? And just then, like a slow motion picture, I was back in Lamar Street by the bus station. The bus was going down. It went into Oklahoma City, where he transferred, down to Ada, Oklahoma. He got off the bus, walked in his house, said, Mom and Daddy, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Get down on your knees. I want you to go through the sinner's prayer. 80 years of age. Pushed him down, accepted the Lord. He said, now we've got to go to the Assembly of God Church. He said, why? He said, that's what you do. You go to church. You got to tell people that you're saved. So down there, knocked on the door. The minister said, what do you want? He said, I want my mom and daddy to come in and pray at the altar. They got sins to be forgiven. Oh, okay. And I followed him, and every night he'd go down to the bar where he used to be, take the black Bible that I gave him, and go into somebody. He said, brother, are you saved? And the guy would say, yes. He said, what are you doing in the bar? Drinking. He said, I was a drunk like you once. I've only been saved a couple of weeks. He said, now I'm a child of God. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm joining with Jesus. You need the same thing. Get on your knees and pray. Praise God. Down to the Assembly of God Church, you take them. And they pray over them. Happened night after night after night. One night, he was coming out of a bar, come around the corner, and a truck hits him. He said, before he hit the ground, he was dead. They took him to the mortuary. They got the blue suit out of the closet, put it on him, and they had these services there. The preacher said, how many people in this room are here as a result of cowboy? How many? Half the people raised their hand. A little church, about 200. How many people are here because of another person who met cowboy? Two cowboy. The other half. How many never heard of cowboy? Nobody raised their hand. Made an altar call. 14 people came and gave their heart right at the casket. They were going to cremate cowboy. So they took off the blue suit. And as the mortician was going through it, he went through the pockets. He found a card. It was Wild Bill Monteith on it. I put cards in all my suits. Wrapped it up, sent it back to me, and yeah, you've guessed it. The suit that Chuck D'Amato bought for me in Hollywood. I went down to Ada, Oklahoma. It's the suit that I've got on. The formaldehyde is now gone. Praise God. I thought to myself, Lord, you're great. You can take anything, and you can do anything that you want, and turn it to your advantage. It says, these sufferings of ours are for your benefit. And the more of you who are one to Christ, the more are to think of him for his great kindness, and the more the Lord is glorified. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, and our inner strength in the Lord is growing day by day. So we do not look at what we see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven when we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. And I said, Lord, I hurt. And brothers, I've hurt from that day. It's been 20 and a half months. And every day of my life when I get up, I hurt. And the Lord is gracious because He gives me one more day to get through to the day that I'm going to be totally manifested and you're going to see it. I'm healed on the inside. The devil doesn't understand that. He's dumb. I'm healed on the inside. But I'm only 80% healed on the outside. And I covet your prayer because I want to stand up here and give this testimony and say, by the grace of God, that I don't have one manifestation that He's healed me completely. I know one thing has done for me is given me compassion. I didn't think that I never had compassion before. But now I love the drunks. I don't mind holding them up and let them vomiting all over me. I can get my suit clean. But that soul is important, brothers. Now, if you do nothing else today, I just want you to reach out to the guy who's lower than you are. Even though he might be sitting in a mansion, he doesn't know Jesus. He's a lost man. And that guy that you see down the street that you might walk on the other side of the street, and he might be dirty or something, reach out. He needs you. I said, Lord, if you let me come back, I'll work for you. I'll do the best I can. And I'm back. Jimmy Swaggart, my favorite evangelist, because he can sing. These guys up here can't sing. I wish I could hear somebody to sing. Well, I can't sing either, guys. I've been in every choir, trying to be in every choir. They won't even give me a robe. I offered to buy my own robe. But one day when I get up in the heavenly choir, I'm going to be in the front row. Amen. Jimmy Swaggart said this. He was in Purdy, Louisiana, where his hometown is, mom and daddy were. He was with Francis, and he's with Donnie's little son then. He pulled out of the driveway. And as he pulled out of the driveway, his mama comes rushing out there, and he says, Mama, Mama, what's wrong? She says, nothing, Jimmy. I just want to say that I'll be seeing you. He said, okay, Mama, I'll see you later. And then he went on. And then that night, the telephone rings, and he gets up and answers the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's Jimmy's daddy. He says, Jimmy, Mama's just gone to home with Jesus. Then he remembered the last thing his Mama said, Jimmy, I'll wait for you. He said, okay, Mom, I'll see you. He said, that's one promise that he's going to keep. He's got a song that goes, someone to care, someone to share. Every trouble, like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky. He'll brush those tears from your eyes. You see, you're his child, and he cares for you. Will you bow your head with me for a moment? I'm going to ask you a couple questions, brothers. Is there but one who's like cowboy, who's been wandering around in the wilderness, and you're running around from those everlasting arms of God, and you're tired of sinning, and you want to come home? Well, Jesus is here in Redlands, and he's waiting for you. And is there but one who, like cowboys, not sure where you're going? See, death is only a heartbeat away, and today could be the first day or could be the last day for the rest of your life, and you can't afford to wait. And is there but one who's not certain of your salvation? And finally, is there one who's never declared publicly before a group of saints like we have here that he's received Jesus as his Savior? You see, 2 Corinthians says, now is the day of your salvation. Now, while everybody else's eyes are bowed, if you've answered yes to these, all I want you to do is lift your eyes towards me, and we'll agree together. See, the Bible tells us that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Is there but one? Praise God, brother, I see you. Praise, brother. Brother, my goodness. Brother. Praise God, brother, I see you there. It's a raised hand. Hey, there's so many of them. Why don't you raise your hands so I can see you? Lift the hands, girl. That's it. Let them go up. Praise God. Over here, too. Let them go up. Come on, guys. Come on, give it all up. Give it all up. Come on, guys. I'm not going to make you come forward. Just raise your hand. Let the Lord see you. Praise God. Come on. There's more. I see them in back there, too. Come on. Keep them coming up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother, you look good. Hallelujah. And there's a brother back there who's got gray hair like old Wild Bill. The Bible tells us that if you go to work at 5 o'clock in the evening, you're going to get equal pay as though who go at 5 o'clock in the morning. Praise God. We've got it made. Okay. You remember back there where I said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? Well, brothers, there's like about 25 of you. You have believed in your heart, and now we're all going to confess. Even Pete, who's been a Christian for 72 years, he's going to repeat the sinner's prayer. So repeat after me, everybody. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming in my heart. I'm a sinner, washed by your blood, saved by your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, and I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Praise God. There's two things I want you to take with you. I want you to find a church that's anchored to the rock and geared to the times. And remember, we're in the book of Acts, not in the book of Numbers. And then there's a couple of you who are waiting and holding back. Before this weekend's over with, I want to say two verses of this song. Let it sink in. Making money isn't sinful, and having fun is not a crime. I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. But now my life is over, and I've been left behind. So here am I, with plenty of time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to these beautiful brothers in Redlands, California. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is present, and he's ministering right now. And Lord, I'd like my brother Chuck to come up and Pete, and we still feel in our spirit that there are some people who do not have that baptism in your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want them to come up here and be ministered to one-on-one basis. And Lord, there's a thousand things that can happen. There's healing. Lord, I confess to you today that I got that writer. I got that money for that book. And Lord, I'm expecting it. And these people can expect the same thing. Lord, we're not going to dismiss the meaning, but we're going to have the Holy Spirit continue on. Lord, let them come up. We want them to baptize in their heavenly language, to go out and to witness to the least, the lost, and the last. Be a cowboy, not in Ada, Oklahoma, but the cities where they reside. I thank you for the privilege of the full gospel businessmen, Lord. I thank you because they're my brothers, and I love them, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.